Well, you picked a great Sunday to be in church. I need to let you know that we're kind of changing things up a little bit today. We are not going to be receiving an offering at all today. And so if you came prepared to give this morning, I just encourage you to just keep that with you, and you'll be able to give next week when you come. We will take an offering next week. We're not going to skip that too often. Our church leadership, the reason we're doing this, clearly wants to demonstrate their faith in God and His provision for this church, as well as our faith in our church family and your ability to steward God's resources. And so today, we're going to kind of do a reverse offering. Instead of you putting something in, we're going to have you take something out. And it's all part of our annual stewardship emphasis here at Academy Christian Church. Every year, we spend some time addressing the topic of money and giving and generosity. And why do we do this? The reason we do it is because the second greatest theme in the Bible is giving. The second greatest theme in the Bible is giving. What would be the first greatest theme? It'd probably be the love of God, God's love for us. And when you go through the Bible, you begin to see reoccurring things that are very, very important in Scripture. For example, the word believe appears 272 times in the Bible. Then that's no surprise, because believing, trusting in Christ, is a very, very important thing. The word pray appears 371 times. Obviously, prayer and faith go together. Prayer is a very important aspect of our communication with God. The word love appears 714 times in the Bible. You'd expect that, because that's the theme, really, of the Bible, is God's love for us. But get this, the word give appears 2,162 times in the Bible. And one of those appearances, and we've been looking at it, is found in Acts chapter 20, where Jesus Himself is quoted as saying, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, if that's so true, why are there so many people, including me, who sometimes struggle with giving and being generous? Jesus must have understood something about money and possessions that we obviously need to learn. Now, I imagine that some of you are probably sitting there thinking this morning, well, the reason I struggle with giving and being generous is because I don't make that much money. I'm not rich enough to be generous and giving. And if that's what you've been thinking, then you should know that survey after survey shows that the higher a person's income goes, actually the less that they give away. And they might look at the latest check that they wrote and think, wow, that is more dollars than I've ever given before. But these surveys continue to show that as your income goes up, the percentage of what you're willing to give actually begins to go down. And if you study the teachings of Jesus at all, you know that He always measures generosity by percent, not by amount. Because He knows it's in relationship to how much we actually have. And that's where we often struggle, because the more we have, the more we tend to want, the more we want, often the less willing we are to be able to give, to be generous. And so our natural inclination is to give a smaller and smaller percentage of our income away. And it could be because maybe we've started to trust wealth more than we trust God. We're putting our hope in wealth rather than in God. And the struggle with where we put our hope is closely related to what I've just called our money mentality. All of us have some kind of money mentality. And there are two very distinctive perspectives or mentalities on money. And one of these mentalities generates worry and fear, while the other generates contentment and generosity. And I'm going to characterize these two mentalities in two different ways. You can see up here on the stage where you guess what they're going to be. The first money mentality that some people have is what we would call the bag mentality. The bag mentality of money. And you can tell the bag mentality of money because people with that mentality, they think this way: I can't be generous, because what's in my bag is all that I have to cover my needs. And if it runs out, I'm going to be in trouble. And when this is your money mentality, you have a really hard time being generous with whatever you have, because what's in your bag never seems to be enough, no matter how much is in that bag. Now, Haggai, great name, one of the Old Testament prophets of God, who actually had something very important to say about where it is that we put our hope. And in Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, he speaks for the Lord and says, "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse or a bag with holes on it. Now, I put bag there because the King James Version translates that last line, bags filled with holes. And you know, Haggai was right about this. It doesn't matter how much you make. You can really go through a time where it feels like you're just getting ahead in life. And all of a sudden, what happens? The refrigerator dies, right? And so you got to replace the refrigerator. And so then you kind of begin to get back on your feet. And what happens again? The transmission goes out on the car and the bag's getting more and more empty. And then you're starting to catch your breath. And then what happens? All of a sudden a kid goes off to college or a daughter gets married or someone ends up having, you know, some medical issue. And if you go through life with that bag mentality, your confidence is in that leaky bag. And you're going to struggle with anxiety your whole life, which obviously is going to keep you from being generous, because no matter how much you make, you'll always be afraid that it's not ever going to be enough. And in my ministry experience, I've come across a lot of people who literally have more than enough money, more than enough financial resources to last a lifetime. And yet they still struggle with this insecurity and fear. And if those folks are worried, then there's really not much hope for the rest of us. Now, here's a question for you. How much money would you need to accumulate to never have to worry about your financial future again? How much would that be? How much would you say? Well, you know, what's interesting is, you know what the standard answer to that is? You know, more than I have right now. That would be helpful. And studies consistently show that most people, and this is regardless of their income, are living on the financial edge. Any of that sound familiar? And when asked how much more they would need to be able to have enough to live comfortably, the answer is consistently the same. A little bit more. If I had a little bit more. Actually, there's a number that goes along with that that people give. And it averages out to between $8,000 and $11,000 more. And they'll say, hey, if I had that, if that's what I got more than I currently make, I would be secure. What's interesting is when they finally achieve that income level, guess what happens? They give the same answer again. Oh, if only I had $8,000 to $11,000 more. See, it seems that no matter how much we have or how much we earn, people don't believe that they have enough. Now, if that's where you live, then likely you maybe have started to put your hope in wealth. And if that's true, then you really are doomed to a life of worry and fear until you change the way you think, until you change your money perspective. See, there's a downside to this bag mentality that a lot of people live with. And the downside is this. It doesn't matter how much you make or how much you have, you will always be fearful that it's not going to be enough, no matter how much it is. And we've seen that over and over again. And you know, there was a guy in the Bible who was very close to Jesus. And when we look at his life, he really was one of these guys that had this bag mentality. You might recognize his name. His name is Judas. And he was actually in charge of the money bag for the disciples. And sadly, his hope apparently was in the contents of that bag. And the reason we know that is because he eventually sold Jesus out, didn't he? For 30 pieces of silver that he could put in his bag. You know, if your hope is in wealth, it can poison your faith. And there's really only one antidote to that kind of poison in your faith. And the antidote for a bag mentality is for us to learn to put our hope and our trust in God. That's where we need to go. We need to put our hope and our trust in God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Bible says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, which is what causes all the anxiety, but to put their hope in God. Now, I just want to let you know, we've spent this a third week. The whole point of this series is to encourage you to try to put your faith and trust in God and then demonstrate that hope in God by giving and being generous. And I would just say one of the best ways to begin putting your hope in God is that practice we've talked about every week of tithing. And when I say tithing, if you've hung around the church for a while, you probably know what that is. But if you're new, you might not know what tithing is. Tithing is the proportional expression for giving to God. And a tithe means one-tenth. And so literally a tithe is a tenth or 10% of your income. Now, every week we've looked at what the Old Testament prophet Malachi challenges us with in this area of tithing. In 3:10, he says, bring the whole tithe, 10% of what you have, into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And then notice what God says in this. He says, you can test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, all of us here who are really in God's family, we ought to recognize that we actually don't give the first 10% to God. We actually return the first 10% to God because that's already His. God considers the first 10% of your income to be His. Now, some of you, when you hear that, you're sitting there thinking, seriously? God expects that kind of generosity? And the answer is yes. It's a matter of trust with God. Because when God asks you to give 10% of your income, that can be a bit of a shock to the system, right? I mean, when you think about giving 10%, it might require you to start thinking differently about your money and maybe even change some of your priorities that you have in life. And what's interesting is people who have the bag mentality, they just refuse to go there. They think, you know what? There's no way, no possible way that I can afford that. I've got too many holes in my bag, and I'm pretty sure that I'm never going to have enough. God might want me to do that, but I just can't. I mean, I've got, you know, diapers to buy and kids that want to be a part of a traveling soccer team and a kid that's going to college. And when your money mentality is like a bag with holes in it, and boy, they're holes, you might want to be generous, but you just can't because it's too scary. It's too fearful. And that's why, again, we've shared that if you'd be willing to make a commitment to try that out, to test God in this, and you would start tithing for the next 90 days and start adjusting, you know, your whole financial situation. If at the end of 90 days you get there and your financial position is way worse off than it was before, you can come to us. We'll gladly return your money to you. We want to offer that just if you need a safety net for giving. So that's really the bag mentality. But there's a second mentality, a second perspective that we can have on money. And as you might guess, it's called the basket mentality, the basket mentality. And people who have the basket mentality, they think like this. They think, you know what? God is more generous than I will ever be. And I can trust Him. I can trust Him to provide exactly what I need and even more than that. Look at this passage from Deuteronomy chapter 28. God was writing to His people there, and He says, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. I mean, way back in Deuteronomy, God uses this idea of a basket that Jesus continues the idea of in Luke chapter 6. Because remember in Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, give, and it will be given unto you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll be poured into your lap, for with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Now, anyone who heard Jesus say that wouldn't have known exactly what He was talking about. See, back then when it came time to harvest, the landowners would hire people to go out into their fields and collect the harvest, often in baskets. Now, they would collect it and they have to carry it somewhere to be deposited. And if it was a long ways away, they might fill the basket half full or maybe three quarters full because it's a little bit heavier, and so it's just easier to carry it that way. But when it got to the end of the day, they would say, hey, now it's your last basket. That's going to be your pay for the day, and you get to take that home. How do you think they filled the baskets that time? They filled it like that, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, poured up some more, running over. It will be poured into their lap. See, the way Jesus describes it in Luke is pressed down, shaken together. And Jesus says that's the way God wants to bless us when we decide to be generous. Because with the measure that we use, it will be measured to us. Now, the difference between a bag mentality and a basket mentality is that it's almost impossible for people with a bag mentality to step out in faith and to trust the Lord. And that's because they're struggling. And they struggle with doubts about whether God is really going to be faithful to them and if he's really going to take care of them, if he's really, really going to be generous towards them. On the other hand, people who have that basket mentality, they believe that God can be trusted and that he will provide for those who trust in him. Now, I just want you to think about your money perspective, your money mentality. Which one of those would you say you lean heavier towards, or which one do you possess? Is it a bag mentality or a money mentality? And see, basket people believe what Proverbs says in Proverbs 3, where it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. And see, the beautiful thing about choosing a basket mentality is that it teaches you to trust God. And here's what you'll learn. Here's what you'll learn. You'll learn that you can do more with the 90% that God pours his blessing on than you can with 100% without God's blessing. Now, I still have a lot to learn about generosity. And there's probably some of you here today that are way more mature in this area than I am. But Diane and I and our family have been so blessed because God has helped us to develop this kind of mentality early on. See, I grew up in a home with godly parents who had a basket mentality, and they were generous. They didn't have a bag mentality. And so consequently, I watched my dad write out checks for his tithe every Sunday my entire childhood. And so that meant that my parents, when they started giving me allowance, they taught me to give 10% of my allowance to the Lord. And because of that, honestly, I've practiced tithing literally my entire life. Now, some of you here, when you hear about tithing, you're going to struggle with it. But I would just admit, it hasn't really been that much of a struggle because I've practiced it since I was really young. And honestly, I have experienced some amazing results. See, I've learned that over the years, God can provide in ways that I would have never imagined. He'll show up and provide in some amazing ways. And if you've developed a basket mentality yourself, you'll find, like so many other people have, you just can't ever outgive God. But you know what? This is still going to be difficult for the average person because not one of us came out of our mother's womb as natural-born givers. We're all natural-born takers. I mean, think about it. You never had to teach your two-year-old, say, now I want you to walk over to that two-year-old right over there and see what he's playing with. I want you to go grab it and say, mine. You never had to teach them that. They were born that way. You got to teach them the other way. And since you aren't born with it, you're going to have to develop a basket mentality. You're going to have to take some steps. Now, I can't tell you how thankful I am that there are already so many people at Academy Christian who have a basket mentality. And they believe that the more they pour out, the more God will pour in. But I just want to say, our church leadership believes this so much that today, we're going to try to model for you a basket mentality. First of all, by not even receiving an offering. Instead, we're going to give away probably more than we even receive in a weekly offering. And then we're going to challenge every one of you here today to find someone with a need and be generous to them on behalf of God. And so we're going to do this reverse offering. The ushers are back, and they're going to be getting baskets in just a moment. Those baskets are going to be passed. And we're calling it a reverse offering because instead of you putting anything in, we want everybody to take out one of these envelopes, if you would. And I want everyone, please, everyone take an envelope. And parents, if you're sitting here with your children, your whole family is welcome to participate on your discretion. So if your kids are with you, they can grab an envelope if they would like. So I want you to take an envelope and don't open it, just hang on to it. So go ahead, guys, come up and pass the baskets. And everybody take one of these envelopes. Don't open it yet, though. I just want you to hang on to it for just a second. Now, while this is going on, let me just share with you some stories of people who had to have a basket mentality in their life. There was a woman who found the perfect wedding dress at a Utah dress shop. But when she went to pay for it, she discovered that another woman had already covered the $495 price tag. Because this other woman had been trying on dresses in the same store, but instead of buying one for herself, she pointed out that woman and said that she wanted to pay for her dress and then left. Or there was a stay-at-home mom in Oklahoma who, during the month of November, was about to pay the cashier at the grocery store for the food that she was buying for her family's Thanksgiving dinner. And that's when another customer tapped her on the shoulder and just said, "Hey, ma'am, I'm going to pay for your groceries today." And that woman stepped in and swiped her credit card and paid the $214 grocery bill and then left. And the recipient of that random act of generosity said she was so shocked, she doesn't even know if she thanked the person for being so incredibly generous. And you know what? You're going to have some opportunities this next week to do some random acts of generosity. And it's only possible because we serve a God who cares for us out of a basket, not out of a bag. And it's hard for us to be able to try to outgive God. And we just keep seeing that and experiencing it over and over again. And so just about everybody's got their envelope. And so if you just take a hold of that in just a moment, on the count of three, we're going to open them together after everybody has their envelopes. All right, I think everybody's got an envelope. On the count of one, two, three, let's open. One, two, three. Go ahead and open your envelope. What do you see in there? I think, isn't that like a $50 bill? How many of you would think today that $50 is a pretty generous gift? I mean, yes. Well, I just want you to know this morning that you've been given this money so that you can be generous to someone else on behalf of God. Now, there are some guidelines to this great giveaway. We've been talking about this great giveaway. And I just want to say, first of all, your task is to give this money away to a person or a cause of your choosing. It's up to you. It's at your discretion. And let me just say, there might be someone who's sitting here today who just needed that $50 just to pay a bill of their own. If that's true, that's okay. Secondly, if you'd like to, you're welcome to pool your resources with your family or with friends or maybe your life group or an ABF and maybe target really a special need together. Third, let me just say, you cannot just give it back to the church. Next week, we don't want to see any $50 bills in the offering plate. We don't expect, nor do we even want anyone just to give the cash back to the church. What we hope is that you will be both prayerful and creative, because God's going to do some great things. This could be maybe a great family activity or something that a couple or some friends do together. Maybe what you're going to do in this next week is just keep that money in your pocket and you're going to pray every day until God literally shows you where it is that he wants it to go. And so maybe some of you'll give it to a homeless person. There are plenty of those folks around. Maybe you'll send it to a missionary. Maybe you'll use it to buy a Bible for a friend who really could need to know God. Maybe you'll send it to a college student and then write a note about God's blessing on his or her life. Maybe you'll identify a single mom, buy her a gift card so that she can do something special for herself or her children. Maybe you'll overtip a waiter or waitress. And when you do, just encourage them to visit the church. The possibilities are limitless. I just want you to be creative. And then if you notice, there's a little card in the envelope too, and it gives you some suggestions to help with creativity. On the back, there's some lines. And what we would just appreciate if you just fill in, hey, here's what I did with my $50. I gave it here, gave it there, gave it there. And then next week or the week after, whenever you give the $50 away, if you just bring that back and stick it in the offering plate, then we'll just have a way to be able to see some of the incredible things that God did in an amazing way. And so I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to pray. And then we're going to close with a song that will help remind us of what's more important than giving away $50. It's yielding ourselves and giving ourselves to God. Let's pray. Father, help us. just to be able to believe and to trust that you are a generous God. You have poured out so much blessing, not only physically on this earth, providing us with all the air that we need to breathe and the food that we need to eat, but you've given us the unsearchable riches of Christ expressed in your kindness to us in Him. And Father, I thank you that you have allowed us as a church family to be able to be generous today in a way that I pray will lead us, Father, to have a basket mentality. To just know that you're a God, when we pour out, you can pour right back in and with more than we could ever hope for or imagine. Father, I know there's some in the room today that are struggling with this whole issue of tithing and, wow, letting go of 10%. But Father, we know those who've taken that step have seen again and again your faithfulness to that promise. And we want to live with that blessing on our lives. And so I pray that you would grant that blessing to those who'd be willing to take that step of faith. And Father, I want to pray right now just for your covering over all of these $50 bills in this room this morning. They need to get to maybe places that you've specifically planned and prepared for and designed. So help us to have hearts that are open, minds that are ready to listen and show us. And help it be moments when we can be able to give a touch from you to somebody who just needs to know that they matter to you. So use this offering, this gift, to be a blessing. And Father, help it to move all of us to trust you enough to first of all give ourselves to you. And we ask and pray all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.